In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette joining me, as he always does, after the Tomlin news conference. What has transpired?
We're currently waiting for Brian to get back on.
Where'd he
go?
What's he doing?
He's like Tomlin. He's taking a little bit more time to jump back on and talk.
Except he doesn't have Pomp introduce him, does he? This much is undeniable. Cam Hayward has hijacked week one of the NFL season by dropping on his podcast, "We'll See," when asked if he's going to play in the opener. One of the captains of the team won't confirm that he'll be there. It's getting a little late for this, wouldn't you say? I mean, if it's not solved by now, why'd he show up then? Why did he show up at all as far as ending the hold-in? Why not just keep that going? But he's practiced. I think he's going to play. I think he is. But he also is on the record as saying, I'm having a hard time justifying playing on this contract. He wants more money. He has a right to ask for more money, and you have a right to be ticked if you're out there. I think that Cam has become, in many ways, him and TJ, the face of a defense that has literally done nothing except embarrass itself in playoff football. So fair or unfair, fans see this as a case of, wait a second, you're already the highest paid defense in football. They already made Cam the highest paid defender over 30 in terms of annual salary in the history of the league. They've made TJ Watt the highest paid defensive player for at least 10 seconds. They gave him more in annual pay than Myles Garrett. Jalen Ramsey's making a ton of money. Highsmith's on a nice deal. Well, what more? Why more? Why always more? Give me more, more, more. When are they going to do something defensively when it matters? When? Except embarrass themselves, and that's all they've done defensively. When's the last time the Steelers played a good defensive game in the playoffs? It was Kansas City when Limits was still in diapers. I mean, you were in high school, but you were still in diapers, right?
Yeah, I was a late bloomer, Brian.
He still had a Banky, Brian. He brought a little mat to his... were you a freshman then?
Sophomore.
2016. They had nap time for Limits. He had a Banky, and they had a special changing station over at... where were you, Limits?
Over at Baldwin.
Over at Baldwin.
We're trying to get my three-year-old off the Binky, but she really likes sleeping with her Binky, but we have to tell her the Binky fairy is coming soon, I think. We don't want another Limits situation.
Oh, my God. That reminds me of the traumatic situation of taking my daughter off her Binky. It was something like that. Like, the Binky went somewhere, and guess fairy.
We did it with my son, who's almost six now. We actually put a box outside for the Binky fairy to come and... take it. We did that with the bottles too. Those didn't get taken by the bottle fairy. Those got taken by the baby deer to drink milk out of at our house.
Well, so. I'm wondering if Cam really believes this will happen, or if this might as well be a case of the Binky fairy here, Brian. This much is indisputable. His story, as much as we love Cam, has hijacked week one. He has. A captain of the team has hijacked week one by dropping a "we'll see," basically, if I'm actually going to play. What are your thoughts on that?
I think his contention there would be, my teammates all support me, so I'm not hijacking it. It's not a case of like Le'Veon Bell where there was infighting and bickering that way. And I believe him. I mean, Cam is – every player who leaves here, even veterans, talk about how great of a leader he is. for the Steelers. Now, I know the on-field results haven't necessarily produced much, but I think it's the little things like hosting the cookouts at your house and, you know, pulling guys aside when they need it. I think he has all that on his ledger, so he does get that respect, and it's not something where teammates are taking shots at him behind closed doors, but it's more of them versus the man, the upstairs, the suits, and it's always easy to say, pay this guy, but it's a puzzle. The salary cap is a puzzle, and you know, every dollar that one guy gets is less than another guy can get.
Well, yes, and I think he looks around and sees everybody from TJ all the way to Jaylen Warren is getting paid here. Now, Jaylen, you know, it's not going to break any records, but he did get $12 million guaranteed, and that's more than the Ravens gave Derrick Henry when he signed with them last year in free agency. I think that's a pretty decent chunk of change for a guy to say. I think Tomlin said that his progress has been very evident and he took a step last year. I think he took a step back last year. Tomlin said his progress has been very evident. I don't necessarily agree, Brian. I like Jaylen Warren. He's a nice back. I feel like I can find nice backs anywhere. I feel like he has a little bit of a fumbling issue. I'm not really sold on a $12 million guarantee for Jaylen Warren. How about you?
I mean, the market's gone up. I mean, Henry got that last year when he signed. And that was, remember, coming off the tail end of the Titans. There were still some questions about him. The Ravens went back to him and gave him, I think, $25 million guaranteed this offseason.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, they're running, yeah. So
but he didn't get as much as Najee either. Jaylen Warren, or he got more than Najee too, guaranteed.
Yeah, Najee didn't get a ton from the Chargers, and I look at it this way: I'm surprised. I would even say maybe stunned when I saw that yesterday. I just didn't think that was the plan. I figured the vision was Jaylen's a nice player. We'll use him a lot this year. Well, you know, he can set himself up to go get paid elsewhere if he plays well and thrives. But we've got Caleb Johnson in the pipeline, and then maybe we'll even use one of our 73 picks next year to take another running back to pair with him.
Yeah.
But when you actually look at it, I mean, he basically got like Tony Pollard money, Devin Singletary money. And I think that seems about right. Not quite Chuba Hubbard money, which I was pretty shocked when the Panthers paid that guy what they did. So yeah, I mean, I guess running backs, they're having a little bit of a moment, a little bit of a resurgence, but I think more than anything, this is a longer-term commitment than I expected them to make to Jaylen Warren, but it's not buku bucks, and it does send a good message, I guess, to the rest of the team if they respect him, the way that he works, and the way that he... I always felt like he was kind of walking on eggshells the last few years with the Najee Harris dynamic in that room. It was always like people were asking Najee about Jaylen, and he was so hesitant to say much praiseworthy about the guy who was pushing for more touches, and now he gets a fresh start as the number one. And, of course, there's a rookie behind him on his heels, but he's got a little more financial security for sure.
Is he better than Najee?
You know, I think he's been more efficient than Najee. And that's what Najee would always say, too. Yeah, how would you describe Jaylen? Oh, he's efficient, which really means he doesn't have to take the beating that I take. He gets to come in as the changeup. And, yeah, occasionally he rips one off, and it helps the yards per carry. Makes you look like a better player, you know, by a metric-based opinion of it. I'll be curious to see if he can keep that up with more touches. I think he's got more home run ability than Najee, which I think certainly helps. You know, I don't know that anybody on this
team.
So does
Harry Callis on our staff here, but go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you. And Caleb Johnson better have that as well, or else they are going to put themselves in a similar situation at running back. I guess I'll cop out and say I don't know that he's better than Najee, but I think the upside is higher because of that. And maybe we've already seen the best of Najee, and they ran the wheels off of him. He had an odd interview. Yes, he finally spoke to reporters in L.A., the Chargers beat, yesterday or the day before. Did it with sunglasses on the entire time. I think someone actually asked him to take them off, and he was like, why don't you take your sunglasses off? He did it sort of in a joking way, but what a strange situation for him with the fireworks eye injury, and man, really puts a damper on what he's going to do now out west.
Man, that's going to be interesting with those two guys. He's again sort of in a timeshare, and so is, I mean, that's the other curious thing here. They just spent the 83rd pick in the draft on Caleb Johnson. So is Jalen the guy moving forward? Then why did they draft Caleb? I understand you want to have a timeshare, but do you need to draft somebody? You draft somebody 83rd in the draft. To me, he's got to be your future starter. But yeah. Tomlin said flat out, he's our future guy. That's what he said about Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, with the Steelers, as you know, Joe, you always follow their actions more than you follow their words. And the $12 million guaranteed is certainly nice for Jalen Warren right now and probably next year, too, if you even just break that up over a two-year deal. But, you know, if the fumbles creep up or he starts going through injuries, I mean, that position, too, is so fickle that I'm sure they'll have an out to some extent, and then it could be the Caleb Johnson show. But, yeah, I mean, it's a vote of confidence for him, and it flies in the face of, I think, the narrative of, oh, and especially it popped up after that Panthers preseason game where he put the ball on the ground, the narrative of, oh, Caleb Johnson's going to take this job by midseason, if not earlier. Well, I'm not so sure about that now. If anything, it seems like all the resting that Jalen Warren got to do in camp in the preseason actually meant that, no, the Steelers are higher on him than we thought from the outside.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. In the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, before I ask my next question, was there anything else you wanted to get to, Brian, specific to Tomlin's news conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, and this is natural because it's going into week one and he didn't play in the preseason, but the questions about Aaron Rodgers and how do you know that he's going to start fast? I mean, you know Tomlin's never really going to show any vulnerability in that setting, but I do still think it's a fair question to be asked. I haven't dived into the context of all of these games and numbers, but I'll just give you the point totals from Aaron Rodgers' offenses in week one. Since 2019, which is when Matt LaFleur came to Green Bay and he really stopped playing in the preseason, 10 points the first year. Then they lit up somebody, I think the Vikings, for 43 points in 2020 when no one had a preseason. 3 points, 7 points, Achilles tear, and 19 points last year in week one with the Jets. So it hasn't exactly been smooth sailing for him in the season opener. Now they have to go to a Jets team that he's going to be figuring some things out, but still has a lot of talent on defense.
Yeah, you're right about that. I looked that up in his last four season openers, including the one where he tore his Achilles. He has one touchdown and four picks. So you're exactly right about that. Now, what about Derek Harmon? He's out, Tomlin said. He made Herbig questionable, but is leaving the door ajar. What does the defensive line rotation look like? Benton had some injury issues in camp. We know Cam's situation. It's hard to believe he's just ready to play 90% of the snaps or something, especially if it's a boiling hot day. Can you check the weather in the Meadowlands? Is that where we're looking? Is that where they play, Brian?
Yeah.
Check the weather in the Meadowlands for Sunday limits, if you would. And then you have Harmon out. So what does that rotation look like? A whole bunch of Loudermilk here? Y.A. Till is going to be in the game?
Well, a whole bunch of Loudermilk. Daniel Ekwale, probably going to be at that, you know, nose tackle spot some too. Yeah, Y.A. Black, thank goodness he came on like gangbusters in the last preseason game and switched his number from 78 to 94. So he's in that club of rookies who switched from the preseason to the regular season. Did you know, speaking of Cam Hayward, he was 95, I think, his rookie training camp in preseason.
That would have been a great trivia question. And how about this? The Hurley.
I blew it.
The Hurley Boy Wonder is going to Mr. Big Chest number. Max Hurley.
Oh, God.
He's going to 84.
Business is booming for Max Hurley.
That is incredible.
But to go back to the D line, I mean, yeah, I think that's probably why, you know, a guy like Asazi Odomewo ended up on the 53-man roster. I mean, he might only be here for a week, but they're going to, I guess, need some depth.
Who's that again, Brian? Can you name that last guy?
With Asezi Odomewo?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Iko, man, who just got here.
All right.
Iku, still on the team, on the practice squad.
I know.
He didn't even attempt Asezi, though. Big O.
Please proceed. So. I'm sorry I offered you.
No, I mean, I guess if we're thinking off the top of my head, you know, the inactives, if you have five, you know, obviously one will be the QB, one will be Derek Harmon for sure. One, maybe even two O-linemen, and then, you know, it comes down to special teams play for the rest. So, yeah, they might have to have all those D-linemen active. And, yeah, someone like Asezi, who I didn't think had any chance of making the team, might actually have to log a snap here and there. And at least he's a big body to do so. And, you know, they'll figure out the roster puzzle as they go. He might be a short timer. But, yeah, that D-line is... To your point, I think it's a concern against the Jets team that he started with the run game. They've got Breece Hall. They've got big Braylon Allen. They've got Justin Fields, who, you know, he's also kind of an unknown commodity in what they're going to be doing with him offensively. So I think that's got to be the key for the Jets, right? If you're looking at this from their perspective, shorten this game, limit the possessions for Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and company, and just try to grind one out. You be the team that beats the Steelers 18-10 this year instead of them beating the Falcons 18-10 last year on six Chris Boswell field goals. I guess he's not missing any games either.
And a hell of a punt, if I recall, from the shadow of his own goal line, right, for Bos last year? And it was one of the greatest regular season games for any kicker in history.
Yeah, absolutely, because that was the Cam Johnston massive injury down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Oh, what an ugly game that was. I guess I hope we're not in for more of that Sunday, but we probably will be based on the histories that we just laid out and, you know, the NFL in week one in general.
What's the over under on this game? 38.5, I think I saw. Is that it?
That sounds about right.
Do you have the weather for Sunday limits?
71 degrees and cloudy in the Meadowlands.
Beautiful day for football. Brian, you going to be
there? I've never been. Yeah, I've never been. I've been. Oddly enough, here's another trivia question about the Batconian mongoose, if I may speak in third person. I've covered a football game.
Darius Slay spoke in third person just yesterday and said, I don't have an ego anymore. And then he referred to himself in the third person, which I thought was a great.
Slay makes plays.
Yeah, Slay makes plays.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of a stereotype, I guess, of a big ego is referring to yourself in the third person. So bad on me for that. I've covered a football game in New York City. But it was at Yankee Stadium. It was not at, I guess Meadowlands isn't New York City either. I've covered a football game in the New York, New Jersey area, but it was Pitt Northwestern Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. So this will be my first football game there at a football stadium.
Who won that one? Who won that fray, Brian? You remember?
Northwestern. Every Pitt player got injured. Nathan Peterman, James Conner.
I remember that.
One of their O-linemen went down. Ben DiNucci came in, I think, at quarterback. I think Ben Skoranek might have been on that Northwestern team. I just remember the wind was whipping. It was extremely cold, open-air press box, hoping for better on a lot of fronts this Sunday.
I believe I've covered two games in, if it's still the same stadium there in the Meadowlands, and both were huge quarterback stories. The first was Ben versus Eli at the end of their rookie year, and it was an unbelievable shootout between those two. It was a great game that Ben won in the end. And the second one was just a few years back when it was Duck Hodges, I think, started the game. Then Mason Rudolph came in, got injured, and then Duck finished it. And he had that guy in the stands with the Duck jersey and the Mason jersey, and he kept switching jerseys. You remember that?
I didn't know that. I was just talking about that game with our mutual pal, Sean Gentile, when I met up with him last week
for lunch.
And he was saying he was at that game, and I was not in attendance for that one. And yeah, I just remember Mason with the collarbone, clavicle injury, whatever that was. But man, that was at the end of that horrific stretch for them to end the 2019 season. I couldn't tell you the first thing about whether they won, lost, points scored. All I remember is Mason getting injured just when it seemed like he was getting back on his feet.
Thank you, Brian. You're a patriot. You're a philanthropist. You're a spiritual guru, and you're basically a role model to Limits and the rest of the young people in this business.
I would agree with that.
Thank you, guys. You're too kind. Appreciate it.
Talk to you next.
Mongoose out.
Mongoose out might be the best closing line we've ever heard, right?
Mongoose out.
What's going on in there, Limit? Suddenly you seem quiet and reserved. What's happening? What's happened to you?
No, I'm good.
All right. You have a Penn State hat on?
And I do.
What's your...
It's also a hoodie.
And a hoodie.
Yes.
You might as well have worn the whole uniform with shoulder pads and a helmet.
I think I should have. Pony knocked me for wearing this. And then I said, Pony, you're wearing a Steeler hat and a Steeler shirt.
Drew Aller made some big-time throws the other day, didn't he?
He did. He looked good. Now, I mean, again, they played Nevada. But Drew did what he was supposed to do and what he needed to do. There were two drops, so his line could have looked even better. He was protected, and when he wasn't, he evaded the pocket, made some good throws on the run. The throw to Kyron Hudson in the corner of the end zone was really good. I was impressed.
Let's not go overboard, Limits. It was against Nevada.
I put that as context in there.
I know. Who else? Well, let's talk about that to finish the show. Let's do our little who impressed us and who didn't among future Steeler quarterbacks. I don't want to copy the morning show. I don't want to do power rankings. I think you and I and Donnie will rank each prospect by giving them, you know how Siskel and Ebert, what did they do? Give little things a pop, little bags of popcorn, like five popcorn bags was a great movie. So you rate it 1 to 5. We'll do Kenny Pickett hands. Do you like that?
Technically, the morning show copied me because I did the list last night.
Technically, you copied me because I sent you and Donnie the idea before your show.
Technically, your format is a little bit different.
No, it's really not. It's power ranking college quarterbacks based on who the Steelers should draft.
But with a different criteria of Pickett hands. Mine is just flat out who
they
should
go get. That's not the criteria. That's just the rating system limit.
Okay.
Limits. I'm sorry.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.